morning. Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Safe entry and take a temperature.
Good morning. Welcome to FCC.
Welcome to FCC. Good morning. Sweet please.
Good morning.
Welcome home.
Come, let me show you to your seat.
There you go. Please sit down. Have a good service, okay?
Hi, good morning, church. Hi, good morning, brothers and sisters who is right now staying tuned in the computer. So, welcome home. So, I'm very excited today because finally, you know, we can come back to do our live service back in our home in FCC. You can see behind me. So, you know, it has been a long 6-7 months that we have really come back to this space. You know, as we prepare for ourselves for the service, I just want to preempt everyone because this is the first service after we are back. So, you know, in case, you know, you see, we met with some technical issues, I really hope that you can bear with us. As you know, we mentioned a lot of time, the equipment have been around for more than 7 years. So we really pray that everything will be okay, that today's service will be seamless. So let us prepare ourselves for the service. And at the same time for the call for worship. Come, walk in green pasture.
We follow the shepherd.
Come, lie down in green pastures.
We trust the shepherd.
Come, dine at the table of abundance.
We are fed by the shepherd.
Come, dwell in God's house.
We live in the shepherd's care.
Loving shepherd, you know our names. You care for us. When we face darkness and death, walk beside us. When we hunger for your love, fill us with your presence. When we are fearful, feed us at your table.
May we dwell in the house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Now we'll go towards the worship section. So if you experience a technical issue or you have some, you want a more high definition of the worship, you actually can go to aka.ms/FCC Live Worship. And I invite you to come back after that to continue with the service. Thank you.
Good morning, church and friends. Let us begin today's worship with a reflection on the image of the ground. The ground is that material surface that passes under our feet, but it is usually left unnoticed. It is in the background of our everyday lives. But living things grow out of it. It is also where we might encounter God. Moses encountered God in the form of a living, burning bush. God asked him to remove his sandals before stepping onto holy ground. Usually we associate Moses' removing of his sandals as an act of cleansing oneself, with the implication that our ideas of holy ground becomes elevated above all otherness. That which is dirty and marginally unaccepted.
Yet,
God may be calling us as well to encounter the soil and dirt of the earth with the soles of our bare feet. Perhaps our encounters with the divine are rooted in the tracks that we make in the dirt, on the ground, in the physical, tangible, and material earth, connected with the everyday among the lowly and the marginalized. God is found in the unexpected. Being in the dirt is a way to think about Jesus' ministry.
So, as we sing today's songs about holiness and ground, let us remember how the holy ground in our conceptions is also about experiencing the sacred inside the mundane. We encourage you to meditate along with us on regrounding the sacred. Put your feet on the ground, however weary or tired, or harden the calluses of your feet feels. Because the ground holds the memories of all our journey.
Just all around. Jesus now. We are standing in your presence. We are standing in your presence. We are standing in your presence on holy ground.
Ooh.
peace like the light from the sun. Age to age, you shine. And I look to the skies, hear the angels cry, singing, oh, your glory appears like the light from the sun. Age to age, you shine. And I look to the skies, hear the angels cry, singing, holy is the Lord. Singing, holy is the Lord.
Singing,
holy.
Jesus, come. voices. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Keep your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of God's mercy. As deep cries out to thee.
Scars of healing. There is a sun Good morning. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. I would like to invite you to join me in prayer. God, those who came before us encountered you in the mountains. And there are those who came before us who encountered you in the wilderness. And some connected with you through bare feet, grounded. God, how do we encounter you today? You who are present wherever we are. Today, some of us have gathered physically, home at last, at One Commonwealth. Some of us are gathered virtually, home wherever we are, and some as far away as Australia or even in the UK. Some are joining us now, and some will join us watching this service later in the week. But no matter where we are or when we are, God, you are with us. We want to give thanks first for being able to gather here to produce this service and work towards the day that we can gather back physically as one community here. We want to give thanks too for the well-being of our community, that all of us are doing pretty okay during this time. God, we continue to pray for essential workers and healthcare workers who are constantly put at risk at being exposed to COVID-19. We pray for their safety and well-being. We also pray for those who are anxious about the economic situation, worried about their jobs, and some worried about finding a job. God, help us learn to trust that your kingdom is one we know we are loved and supported by those around us. That our worth isn't based on what we do, how much we earn, but we are worthy in your eyes. We pray for you to continue to impress on us what kind of kingdom that will emerge out of this, what the new normal should look like. God, as we pray, inspire us, challenge us. We pray for relationships, friendships. May they be made fonder in the absence of each other, as many of us are not able to meet face to face. Many of us are not able to catch up in person. God, as we return here to One Commonwealth, we encounter you. And you have already given us an answer to what the new normal should look like. It is your commonwealth, your community founded on the well-being of all creation. God, as we encounter you again and again and again, teach us, guide us, empower us to make this commonwealth a reality. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So good morning. It's so amazing to be back here, really. And thank you for joining us for service this morning. Before we go into the sermon, I just really wanted to thank the team that spent so much time and heart and dedication just to come together to make this happen. And it's not just been for today and this weekend, but throughout the last few months, the fact that we have had an online service really is kudos to our team of people. And so just want to say a big thank you, a big shout out to them. Thank you, all of you. And thank you for all the people behind the scenes, the moderators as well, people doing all the recordings. Did you enjoy the worship recording today? It's a little bit different, right? And that's because of the heart of the people behind it who constantly are trying to make this experience better, not just for the sake of making it better, but so that we can encounter God in a deeper way. And so I'm so thankful for each one of you, truly. And for you who are joining us today online, God bless you. And we pray that this morning will be truly a time where we encounter God in a special way. You know, in our current sermon series, we have been exploring what it means to encounter God. And then what happens out of those encounters as well. So far, we've looked at the burning bush moments. We've talked about encountering God in our suffering. You know, 2020 has been a year of unexpected encounters. And I'm really curious to know what your encounters with God has been like. Perhaps not just your encounters this year, but even in the past. And so my first question for you this morning, and I just want to invite you into this time to think about it, is to think about an encounter that you've had with God in your life. Not just this year, maybe you had something interesting this year, but throughout your life, what was your encounter with God like? And did it occur during an easy or a difficult time? Right? Did it happen during an easy or difficult time? So if you can, and you are happy to share, please type in the Q&A, right? Tell us, what was it like, and did it happen during an easy or difficult time in your life? Okay. And later on, I'll cycle back and come back to read all your responses, and so that we can all benefit from it, okay? I ask this question because our closest encounters with God often happen during the most difficult times in our lives. Of course, we encounter God in our joyful moments, but I dare say, and perhaps you may disagree, but I dare say our most memorable encounters with God often come out of a time of struggle or heartbreak. And this is what happened with Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And I thought today we could explore the encounter of one of the female characters in the Bible. There are very few female characters in the Bible in the first place. And so it's really important for us, you know, to draw from that experience as well. Hannah is a really interesting character, a really interesting story. And I would say she is the epitome of how our closest encounters with God often happen during our hardest times. Our closest encounters with God happen during our hardest times. We find the story of Hannah in the opening chapter of 1 Samuel. Hannah is the first wife of Elkanah, and unlike his second wife, Hannah is childless. And this is a very difficult and painful situation for Hannah because she lived in a patriarchal society where women had very little value. They had almost no value, aside from childbearing and childcare. So at that time, barrenness brought deep shame to a family. And women who were barren were considered cursed by God. In fact, you can almost imagine in a village, people would be gossiping and saying, there must be something wrong with her, that Hannah. Can't have children, you know. Elkanah's second wife got so many children. She don't have, you know, something wrong. And Elkanah's second wife never let her forget it. And she used Hannah's childlessness against her. She taunted and provoked her, especially during the times when the whole family went up for the annual trip to Shiloh to worship and offer sacrifices at the sanctuary of God. We hear in 1 Samuel chapter 1, on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Well, it's obvious that Hannah's husband Elkanah loves her and doesn't think of her as cursed or worthless. But he doesn't really understand her deep pain. He doesn't recognize that Hannah has needs that he can't fulfill. And the biggest is her desire to be a mother. So, Hannah turns to God. After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, the Bible says, Hannah presented herself before the Lord at the temple. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Hannah turned to God in her distress and heartbreak, and it's in her desperate prayer that she encounters God. So let me pause here, and let me just go back to read a little bit about your encounters with God and how it happened, and if it happened during difficult or hard times or easy times. Yeah, I need to use double devices. So Elsie says, "Oh, the goodness of God, faithful is God. Last week I shared this testimony of healing my dad. Today I'm blessed and most grateful to bear testimony once again to God's goodness. That same afternoon, my dad received Lord Jesus Christ into his life. Hallelujah. We celebrate with you, Elsie. That's really amazing news for your father to experience healing in so many different ways. That is a tremendous encounter with God. That is a joyful encounter with God. And we praise God together with you. Matt said, through a difficult time, but usually I encounter while praying, journaling, or after meditating. Thanks, Mark. It happened to me when I left my previous church. I hated God back then, but it was God that brought me back to FCC through my encounter with God when I was 21 years old. And this is by Sean. Thanks, John, for sharing. And Lex said, encountered God both during good and bad times. Thankful for God's peace after storms and thankful for God's presence during the storms. Indeed, we are thankful for God's presence, God's closeness with us, even in the storms, in the midst of the storms. Thanks for sharing that, Lex. So I said that Hannah turned to God in her distress and heartbreak, and she encountered God in her desperate prayer. But how did she encounter God? God didn't speak to her directly, like with Moses and the burning bush. And unlike Samuel, the son, her son, who later heard God calling his name, Hannah didn't hear God call her by name. So how did Hannah encounter God? It was through Eli the priest, who was stationed there at the temple. Now, Eli may have been a priest, but he was definitely a flawed person, imperfect, okay, as all of us are. Scripture tells us that he had 2 sons who were priests also, but they were scoundrels. Okay, that was the word that they used, scoundrels, and had no regard for God or for the duties of the priest to the people. In fact, they took whatever they wanted. They slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of the meeting and treated the offerings of God with contempt. Eli chided them, but he had no ability to rein them in, right? So he just let them be. And also, Eli wasn't very good at reading people or situations. In fact, he made assumptions of Hannah that were hurtful for someone who was already hurting so much. In verse 12 to 16, we hear that as Hannah in the sanctuary of God was praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord. I am a woman deeply troubled I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time. Here was a person full of grief and anxiety, praying in agony and desperation to God. And the priest scolds her for making a drunken spectacle of herself. What would you have done if you were Hannah? I might have stormed out in anger and never came back. But Hannah was way more measured in her response. She didn't just accept Eli's accusation. She speaks up for herself and does it in a calm and respectful way. She tells Eli she was pouring out her soul to the Lord and asks him not to treat her as a worthless woman. That's quite something, right? I mean, for a woman at that time to speak up for herself in front of the priest. And she did it with such clarity, courage, and maturity. And Eli realized his mistake and he told her, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then she went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. Her countenance was sad no longer. Obviously, something divine had happened in that exchange, because after talking to Eli, Hannah was able to eat again, right? Before that, we heard that she couldn't eat. And her facial expression was no longer sad anymore. Something inside had shifted. The pain in her heart had turned into hope. And that's something special about Hannah's story, because I find it very relatable. You see, we don't always hear directly from God when we talk about encounters with God, right? It's not always like Moses and the burning bush or Samuel hearing God call his name. But our encounters are no less significant or meaningful. Sometimes we may sense God speaking to us through another person. That person may not even understand us, but God does. Like Hannah, God hears her pain and answers a prayer through a flawed person like Eli. So one lesson we can learn from this is this. Don't focus on the messenger. Focus on the message giver. And that is a question I want to ask you today. Were there times in your life you focus on the messenger rather than the message giver? And what would you do differently now? As you think about that question and write your response, please, I wanted to share my story with you. In my early 20s, when I was still struggling to reconcile my faith and sexuality, I had a number of well-meaning messengers, Christian friends, right, who were okay with me when I came out to them and would even pray for me as long as I was fighting against my sexual orientation. So in my deep distress over the tensions of faith and sexuality, I went to God in prayer. I went to God in prayer and I said, "God, how can you be okay with someone like me?" And I heard God say, "You are okay with me, and I am okay with you." I couldn't explain it, but a deep, inexplicable peace filled my heart, and my anguish turned into hope. But you know, the moment my friends heard that I was at peace with God and with my sexuality, they withdrew their friendship. Human beings as messengers are flawed. We might have the best of intentions, but we can be wrong sometimes. You and I are flawed, and we may not always be good messengers. Thankfully, our message giver, God, is able to use broken vessels And somehow we ultimately receive the message we need to hear. And so just let me read some of your responses, okay? Today my encounter with God is when my daughters enjoyed my hugs. Oh, that's really sweet. And that is such a God moment, isn't it? Being able to give joy and help to another human being, indeed. Sometimes the little moments, once I needed to get shoe freshener, but I had a hunch from God that I wouldn't need to buy it. The following week or so, I received a pair from someone, one of the most memorable. Isn't it in the small things in life that suddenly you go like, this is such a God moment, right? Like, even something like a shoe freshener. But that's the amount of attention God pays to us, no? So Ken said, read this last week. Are you following Jesus or are you following the messenger, pastors, speakers, friends, family, people around? Indeed, Ken, that's true. It's absolutely that. Are we following Jesus or are we following the messenger? And so as you continue to think about that question, I wanted to bring you into our next point, which is, our encounters with God always result in change of some kind. Okay. I don't know how for the person who had shoe freshener turn up. I don't know how the encounter changed you. All right. But I think our encounters with God somehow live with us and they change us in some way. Okay? In Hannah's case, it was quite a dramatic change, right? Because it was a very big thing in her life. We see a change from barrenness to fruitfulness. And we see also a moving from heartbreak to hope. You know, Hannah is among a long list of women in the Bible who experience childlessness. And then the promise and fulfillment of bearing a child. People like Sarah, Rachel, Elizabeth. And I think there are so many stories of childlessness and how God intervenes divinely to fulfill a promise. Because it's a very tangible symbol of how we can move from barrenness to fruitfulness in our lives in a myriad of ways. And I believe this theme of childlessness in the Bible, the waiting, agonizing, the hoping, the trusting, see God work, is a powerful reminder that God sees and remembers us. And God desires for us to be fruitful in our lives. And when I say fruitful, I don't mean just bearing children. All right? It's much bigger and wider than that. It's about bringing new life into the situations that we may find ourselves in. Hannah thought that she was long forgotten by Yahweh, and pleads with God in her prayer to remember her. The Hebrew word for remember has a much stronger nuance than the English version, right? It's much stronger than just putting something in our memory. The word remember includes positive actions taken towards the one being remembered. So if in Hebrew it says, I remember you, I am actually taking action towards doing something in remembrance of you. So just like Yahweh remembered Noah and stopped the rain in Genesis chapter 8, so God remembered Hannah and gave her a child. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says, Yahweh is a powerful rememberer. And when Yahweh remembers the partner, meaning all of us, we are partners of God, the partner and the promise, newness is possible. Newness is possible. That is true for Hannah. It was true for Israel at that time as well. It is true for you and me, for the church and for the world. When God remembers us, change and newness become possible. Now, change doesn't happen overnight, of course. Newness and change take time. In Hannah's case, we see that God's promise came to pass in the process of time. It didn't happen right away, But the Bible says, in due time, in the right time, God's promise was fulfilled. And so we see that divine encounters often are for the greater good. There's often a bigger plan behind divine encounters. Hannah's prayer was answered, but it wasn't just to fulfill Hannah's wish to have a child. God was involving Hannah in a bigger plan, helping her to see her purpose. No longer was she a worthless woman. She was a woman with a purpose. Her child Samuel, as you would probably know, would go on to serve God as a prophet and played a significant role in Israel's history. Samuel was the one who anointed both Saul and David, the first two kings of Israel. And it was a new era in Israel at that time. You know, it's true not only for Hannah, but also for us. It's important for human beings to live with a sense of purpose, to feel like we are part of something bigger. It's at the heart of what creates meaning in our lives. So more than just answering her wish for motherhood, God helped Hannah discover her purpose in God's bigger plan. She knew Samuel was special because he was given to her in special circumstances. If Samuel had been born under normal circumstances, perhaps it would have been harder for Hannah to see that God had a bigger plan in all of this, and that her child had a significant role to play in Israel's history. Because she knew this child was special in some way, she vowed to give the child back to God so that he could serve God all the days of his life. Could this be true for us too? Does God have a bigger plan behind our encounters with the divine? I would say yes, especially for some of our bigger and more significant encounters with God. If you've had an encounter with God, I'm sure God has a bigger plan behind it. Perhaps you've already begun to see what God's plan might be. Or maybe the change and newness is in the process of coming to pass. More than 20 years ago, God told me, "You are okay with me, and I'm okay with you." At that time, I didn't know what was God's bigger plan for me. It helped me on a personal level, but I didn't know that God had a bigger plan behind it. It took many years for me to realize that God gave me a unique story so that I could tell others that God still loves them, regardless of their gender identity or sexual orientation. Divine encounters are often not just for us, but for the greater good. But for this to happen, something is required from us. It doesn't just happen on God's end. It's always a partnership between us and God. And so, encountering God often leads to rededicating our lives back to God. God comes to us and we offer ourselves back to God. You know, many of us, we often long for an encounter with God, right? We want to feel the closeness and the presence of God. We sometimes wish God would speak to us in a clearer, more direct way, especially when we are praying and saying, "God, tell me what I should do. What is your will for me? What is your plan?" But are we prepared for what that means? When Hannah prayed for a child, she was prepared to give this child back to God. In giving Samuel back to God, Hannah was saying, "I am yours. All I have belongs to you. Even this child that I wanted for so long." This child was what she valued above all else, perhaps even more than her own life. Her encounter with God led her to give this child back to God. What about us? Are we truly ready to encounter God? And in doing so, are we ready to give ourselves to God? In Hannah's story, we see how God answers prayer above and beyond what we might expect or ask for. Hannah asked for one child, just one. And then she dedicates this child back to God for the rest of his life. So what this meant was after weaning him, Hannah brought Samuel to the temple, and he was still very young when she left him there so that he could be in God's service. It must have been very hard for her, I would imagine. It must have taken a lot out of Hannah to do this. But God remembered her. God remembered her and answered her prayer above and beyond what she asked for. After Samuel, Hannah had 5 more children. She asked for one. She got 5 more. She had 3 more sons and 2 daughters while Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Do you long for an encounter with God? Sometimes it happens during the hardest times in our lives. Encountering God usually results in change or newness of life. And at times, these encounters lead us to rededicate our lives back to God. Are you prepared to say, I am yours, Lord. All I have belongs to you. Let my life speak of you and be part of the bigger story you are weaving together. Like what we sang earlier this morning, can we say with all our hearts, in all things, for all my life, I am yours, forever yours. May this be our prayer as we sing this song later at the close of our service. The prayer of our hearts. Here I bow to lift you high. Jesus, be glorified. In all things, for all my life, I am yours, forever yours. God of heaven and earth, God who brought me back to life, I am yours, forever yours. Amen.
Let us prepare for our time of Holy Communion. If you haven't already, now would be a good time to prepare your own elements that we will partake together. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Good Shepherd, we take your care for granted. In the midst of your many blessings, we complain of not having enough. In the presence of danger, we fail to trust your abiding love. When you set a table before us, we turn aside from you. Call us back into your fold and help us trust your caring presence and provision, that our actions may proclaim your truth.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. God forgives our failures and call us back into the flock.
Loving God, our good shepherd, we are the sheep of your pasture. You know us by name.
We offer grateful thanks for your loving care. Open our hearts and minds to the guiding of your Spirit in our lives. Lead us in right paths, that we may serve you in truth and action. Amen.
God prepares the table for us, offering us a feast of abundant love. Our cups overflow with the bounty of grace, for our shepherd knows us as no one else can, restoring our souls, healing our brokenness, nourishing us with bread and cup for the life of ministry. We remember how Jesus, our shepherd, took bread, and after giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come to the table and feast with the shepherd. Now we will take a moment as we offer the elements to those who are present with us. Let us now partake of these communion elements together with thanksgiving. Altogether,
God of love, you abide with us. Your loving presence stills us. You provide us with all that we need in abundance. Help us love one another in truth and action. Help us give of ourselves to those in need. Help us care for others the way our shepherd cares for us. May our lives reflect our wholehearted trust in our shepherd's everlasting love and care. Amen.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Pastor Pauline, for the sermon itself. So welcome everyone once again to our Free Community Church first service that is in One Commonwealth location. Thank God that till now the service was very smooth. I'll take this opportunity also to thank those in the background, as we mentioned. Maybe you haven't seen, we have Gary, we have Raymond, we have Chong Lip, and we also have shadowing Gary, because we need people in the production. I also have Jimmy up there. The moderator, you probably will see myself and Jamie, and also we have people who is doing the pre-service, all this. So we are really trying to bring the whole service to you, and that's why it is so important. So thank you everyone for joining us and tuning us to online today for our service. So, you know, if it's, today is your first time ever to FCC, okay, I would like to, you know, invite you, okay, to join us, okay, through signing up to our AKA link itself, where you can join us as the newcomers link. So if you are new, the link itself will be posted there. Let me just go to the link. Okay, so it's actually aka.ms/FCCWelcome. So if you want to, if you're first time, please join us through that link.
2 weeks from now is actually the newcomers meeting. And if you'd like to join the newcomers meeting, you can actually sign up and email us at info@freecomchurch.org. Next, okay, these are like the few repeated emails that we have, sermons that a bit nervous announcement that we have. Okay, so the usual one, if you need pastoral support, okay, you can actually email us at the same email address. And today after service, okay, we're going to do our live prayer and live discussion as usual. But this time around, you'll see some of us actually log on in church. Okay, so hope to see everyone at the live prayer or discussion. Next. Okay, every Wednesday, we're going to have our prayer meeting. So we hope to see everyone next Wednesday. Every Wednesday, the coming up Wednesday, we're going to have our prayers meeting. Next, about, you know, 11 October. Please remember, 11 October is going to be FCC's anniversary service. So this time around, it's going to be a very unique service we're going to have. Besides baptism that we're going to have for some of our new members, at the same time, we are also inviting you. If you have yet to be a FCC member, you can actually sign up to be part of the membership. So if you'd like to know more about it, you know, you want to connect with us. But I think most importantly, like me, if you see just now what Pastor Polly mentioned, you know, I grew up in FCC when I was 21, now I'm old, okay? Grew up together with us, you know, joined us, okay, so that we can serve you better, you can serve God together and make this a home for everyone. So please, if you want to know more about our membership classes, you can email at info.freecomchurch.org. So, as mentioned, you know, we're going to have our next series of our queer conversation. So we had the last two one. So next one will be coming up this coming Friday. So if you'd like to know more about the queer conversation, you can actually sign up, okay, or email us. Let me just get the link. So we'll be at aka.ms/fccqc. Okay, if you'd like to join, you can actually go there. Next. So if you have not joined in our WhatsApp broadcast list, you can join us. We need your help to WhatsApp your name, okay, at this number 9366-3818. Okay, please WhatsApp us with your name, okay, so that we know who you are. Lastly, okay, as usual, we like to know how do you feel about today's service. As I mentioned, this is the first time we're having our service in the One Commonwealth. Please tell us whether is it good, is it bad, or, you know, today, you know, Sean being very bad service leader, I felt I'm not doing a good job because I made quite a lot of mistakes. But, you know, let us know. So how do we improve better? Is it right now you felt that the quality is not as good compared to last time or better? So hope to hear from you so that we can improve it better. So as we slowly migrate to the new platform that we are moving to, we can make sure that it's more seamless. Now we go towards the giving part. So there's two ways for you to give. Actually, the first way is actually through freecomchurch.give.asia. So this is through credit card. So this, as mentioned before, this is how you should input, okay, for example, your contribution to FCC, and it's optional whether you want to give to give.asia. Okay, we will hope that you will please give us your name and your email. That is very important because we will actually send you an email receipt. Lastly is the QR code. So we have two QR code, left and right. The left one is actually the general fund and the other one is for the building fund. As mentioned before, right now, I think you all seen last week, our giving for the last month have been really down. And for the past year-to-date numbers, we are still we are about 10% behind for general fund, about 20% behind for building fund. So I really encourage and really hope that you can give to the church so that we can continue to make this place a better place for everyone, for people who are lost, for people who are despised because of who they are, because you're always welcome here. So please, I encourage everybody to give. With that note, let us pray for the giving. Dear Father in heaven, Thank you. Thank you for giving us the gift of abundant internal life. You say that you are a good father who gives us good gifts. You always bless us with love. Everything we have here is a gift from you that we hope to give back to you so that we can reach out to other people who may need you, who wants to know you more, Lord. Thank you once again for always being here with us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So now we'll go towards the last song, after which we will have the benediction and you will see me back again. Thank you.
Yeah. So my time is sing, just the voices.
God hears, bend down, be lifted high. Right here, bend down in this place, be glorified. God of heaven and earth, God who brought me back to life, I am yours forever, yours. I am yours forever, yours. We sing. Oh, I am yours forever. I bow to lift you high, Jesus, be glorified. Tears for all my life, I am yours forever.
Let me sing together.
So here I bow to lift you high, Jesus, be glorified in all states for all my life. I am yours forever, yours. I am yours forever, yours. I am yours forever,
dear beloved, as you encounter God, may you remember whose you are and who you are. And as you remember, may you take action to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God, so that you may be the change in the world that God is pouring out into, and you are love, and you are justice, and you are the body of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Mia. So thank you everyone for joining us, our service itself. So there's three last things I need everyone to do. The first thing is, remember to give us your feedback, because it's very important for us to improve ourselves for the first service in One Commonwealth. Second thing, and the third thing, is to join us as our live prayer and our live discussion. So I see you then. See you next week. Stay safe. God bless.